John Paul Morosi is a national baseball writer for MLB Network and various agencies. John Paul Morosi joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Hello, John Paul Morosi.
Good morning, Jeff. How have the Olympics and this very fun stretch of baseball been treating you, my friend?
It's been outstanding. It's been outstanding. Canada's winning gold medals. I'm not used to that. Not in summer games, anyhow.
Right.
So that's all good. Baseball's been great. And we got a little Gibbons-Donaldson flare-up happening. And, of course, you know, around this city, John, people have still have memories of John Gibbons and Ted Lilly. You know, and
10 years ago.
10 years ago. 10 years ago to
during the first Gibbons administration.
During the first Gibbons. That's right. During the first Gibbons administration. That's right. Before he was impeached. And an even worse one. And nobody really saw this, but the Shea Hillenbrand set to that happened in the confines of the clubhouse. And you know, as
the ship is sinking, right?
The ship be sinking. Yes. I don't think this ship be sinking. I think this ship right now may have a few injured oars in it, but I don't think it's sinking. How did you view that? You know that argument between Gibbons and Donaldson, because we know players and managers argue all the time. We know players argue amongst themselves all the time. I mean, even Dan Shulman said though, and Buck kind of chimed in too. This was unusual. Doesn't mean it's, you know, there's any long term repercussions, but this was unusual to see this.
It was. I thought it was a tense moment. I think that, Jeff, we can look a lot at the way they both handled it post-game and their body language in their post-game comments. I thought both of them were very at ease. They didn't seem tense. They didn't seem like they were trying to hide something. Obviously, Donaldson's response was very clever. I thought that was it was an interesting and fun way to handle it. Gibby similarly seemed very much at ease and matter of fact and at his folksy best. So I don't think there was really anything that we're going to see continue on here. I think that was a tense moment between two very competitive guys. And I really don't think, Jeff, it's going to be much more than that. I mean, as much as maybe everybody loves to have there be a controversial story here, I don't really see one. I think that was probably a moment similar to which that we see a lot that maybe players would see a lot over the course of a baseball season, but we don't see all that often. So I think that was just a case of a heat of the moment scenario there. And thankfully, I think most importantly, it didn't seem like anything. There was any sort of injury that came about as a result of that. I know Donaldson left later in the game. It seemed like that injury was unrelated to whatever happened in the dugout. So
yeah, he got jammed by a CC Sabathia pitch,
right.
And he's had a sore thumb.
I think Jeff, it was probably a brief, momentary difference of opinion, if you will, that was maybe good for the cameras. But I don't think it's going to be a substantive thing going forward. And I guess I'll say this: I don't think it's going to influence, let's say, Josh Donaldson's interest in signing an extension with the Jays this wintertime, if that's at all on anybody's mind as a concern. I don't think it's evidence of any sort of a fundamental disagreement at all between manager and player.
No, absolutely. And if anybody saw that terrific feature that Mark DeRosa and the MLB Network did with Josh Donaldson talking about his swing a couple of days ago, when you heard Donaldson talk about Gibbons, I think if anybody's worried about that, go back and look at that interview, and that'll pretty much put that to rest. John, you're a national baseball guy. You get around a lot. Jay Happ, 17 wins, and we know that wins is a measure of a pitcher's, of pitcher's season. Well, it's not a very good measure because it's a team stat, but there's still something about 20 wins. 20 wins gets your eye. I don't care how much of a sabermetric guy you are. Is he in the AL Cy Young conversation? I mean, he is in this market. I don't know if other markets, I don't know if guys, John, can look at Jay Happ and wrap their head around the idea of Jay Happ Cy Young candidate.
I think you're right to an extent. I also think that this year is a very strange year in the American League. And this is something one of my colleagues at MLB Network, Matt Phillippe, looked up some information on this recently. It's very interesting about how a couple things. Number one, you've got a real shortage of pitchers who are even on pace to throw 200 innings.
Mm-hmm.
And even at this moment, here we are three quarters of the way through the season, we've got, at least relative to the last 5 years that Matt was able to look up, the lowest number of pitchers who have even surpassed 150 innings at this point in the season. Of course, we're three quarters of the way. You would imagine that we'd have a lot of guys that are at 150 on their way to 200, but that number is one of the lowest we have seen in recent years. Also, it's possible, maybe not likely, but possible, that we won't have anybody, and maybe Happ is the best, as one of the guys with the chance to do it still. We may not have any pitcher with at least 200 innings pitched and an ERA under 3.
Mm.
And again, those are sort of crude numbers, if you will, based on the way that we talk about pitchers nowadays. But still, you would imagine, Jeff, and you and I have voted for this award before, for the most part, when you think about who you're going to vote for Cy Young Award in the American League, the guy's probably got 200 innings and he's probably got an ERA under 3. I mean, that's sort of a basic
yep.
criteria, okay? And we may not have anybody with that set of criteria. So maybe it's Corey Kluber that is the front runner eventually. But listen, if Happ can get 20 wins with an ERA under 3 and about 190 innings pitched, maybe, I think he's in the conversation. I think you have to put him in the conversation. Zach Britton has been a lot of conversation here the last couple
mm-hmm.
days. Jason Stark wrote a very good piece about it.
Yep.
And I think, to borrow my Olympics analogy, which maybe some people bristled at yesterday, but I still think it stands to reason a little bit, that if you look at it and what the criteria of the Cy Young Award is, it's the best pitcher. Doesn't say best starter, doesn't say best reliever, doesn't say best pitcher with a certain number of innings. It's the best pitcher, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me right now who is the best pitcher in the American League, who's been the best pitcher in the American League this year, give me an answer right now in 2 seconds or less, I might say Zach Britton. Now,
yep.
I don't know that for a fact, but you at least have to give it some thought. And the point that I made is, if you say best pitcher, okay, in the American League this year, it's like saying, who's the best runner at the Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
You would probably say Usain Bolt. Doesn't matter that he does it over 100 meters as opposed to a marathon. I mean, it's sort of distance irrespective, if you will. And I think that the pitching criteria, while normally you would give it to a starter, normally I would want to give it to a starter, that award says nothing about distance, if you will, among pitchers. So I think that's one comparison to sort of keep in mind.
And you know, I've in the past, I've had no problem voting for a closer for the Cy Young Award. And I think a lot of people will look at it that way. And the other thing Zach Britton has going for him as well is the fact that he's doing it for a team that's in contention. And
right.
and I think this may be one of the years, and this may help J-Hap, but this may be one of those years where your team finishes comes into voting. It may be one of those years, John, and you've been involved in this and you've seen it before, where you haven't filled your ballot out until literally the last hour. I mean, I've had years like that where I've sat down and looked
sure.
at it, said, okay, I got to think about this. And
oh,
this
yeah.
may be one of those years.
I agree. This is going to be one of those. I remember a couple ballots I had where I was in the hotel the night before the playoffs start, and I got out all my reams of statistical information and my one Heineken and just thought about it for about 5 hours, and that's kind of what you do. But you look at the American.
You made a Heineken last 5 hours.
That's true. I did that once where I sort of needed to contemplate
Yikes.
The world there, and that was how I did my voting.
That's fine.
With one. But at any rate, you look at the American League ERA leaders, and this is sort of the issue that I'm underscoring here. You look at right now the top five: Michael Fulmer, Danny Duffy, Aaron Sanchez, Jose Quintana, Cole Hamels. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Fulmer's got 120 innings. Duffy 132. Sanchez 152 and a third, and probably that's going to get tapered in some way, shape, or form down the stretch. Quintana 157 and two thirds. So he might get to. He might get to 200.
Right.
Hamels at 153 and a third might get to 200. So again, that's basically where you're at. It's Quintana and Hamels are really the guys that have probably the best chance to at least hit 200 innings with an ERA under 3. I mean, that's what we're talking about. I mean, the AL ERA leader right now is Fulmer, who is 10-3 with a 2.25 and 120 innings. And Duffy is second with 132. It's just a strange year, Jeff, from that standpoint.
Want to shift focus a little bit. The Texas Rangers finished off a three-game sweep of the A's. Yu Darvish pitched in the eighth inning for the first time this season. The Rangers have now, they lead the majors in with 39 comeback victories. Jonathan Lucroy looks like that was a pretty good pickup, doesn't it?
Yes, he was. And also, Beltre and Beltran together in the middle of the lineup has been very good. You know, Jeff, there's still a team, though, that I look at their bullpen and I'm a little bit concerned. Mm-hmm. The report from Evan Grant, our friend recently, who said that they're not in on Papelbon, but boy, you know, I look back to the way that team looked.
They almost have to be, John.
Jeff, at Rogers Center, I still feel like they'd want one more guy to help stabilize their late innings. But Lucroy has been very good for them. Beltran looks like he's a very young player. But I tell you what, their leadoff spot is one concern for me, and losing Chu is a big deal for them. As good as they've been 3-4 and on down with their depth, they need someone to get on base. And I'm not sure that Profar sort of like looks like a leadoff guy and plays like a leadoff guy, but he doesn't hit that one leadoff spot, nor does Elvis Andrus, nor does Rougned Odor. So they don't really have a classic leadoff guy to fill in there with the absence of Chu. So that's something to really watch closely. What does Jeff Banister do in that area with that leadoff spot to sort of make up for that? Because I think you look at it, Jeff, and especially in the playoffs, it's so important to have an on-base guy atop the lineup, just because that's going to change how the rest of the hitters are approached, how many quality pitches they see to hit. I mean, everything is really predicated on those good at-bats in the leadoff spot. And that's one reason why, Jeff, I love what the Jays have done with Travis. I think Travis, what he's done, he's batted leadoff every single game for them going back since August 3rd. And Devin Travis, to me, I think is quietly, and certainly, listen, Josh Donaldson's going to be an AL MVP candidate. It's probably going to come down to him and Betts. It's going to be a great debate going down the stretch. But I think from a standpoint of what has made the Jays this month, I think Devin Travis has been as important or more important than any player on the team because of what he does, the quality at-bats, the way he sets things up. I mean, what a phenomenal trade. I mean, basically, I mean, you look back to that trade, Jeff, two off-seasons ago with Detroit. I mean, that was just a phenomenal trade. Travis has been just a sensational player when healthy, and it's just been great for the Jays. They've got him back healthy, great for him. He's just been a great story, I think, in so many ways.
John, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this. I echo your sentiments about Devin Travis. He's actually, I think, completed this lineup. And it's a deep lineup, but I think they were missing that, the skill set that Devin Travis brings.
Totally agree. And many great award debates to come, my friend. This is going to be a great Donaldson-Betts, I think. Donaldson-Betts, Red Sox-Jays with a division race and the MVP race all wrapped into it. This is what we love the sport, Jeff.
Should be a lot of fun. Don't forget Mr. Altuve either. Thanks, John.
I won't, believe me.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care.